In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A total solar eclipse is not something you see, it's something you experience, according to Dr. Ryan Mulligan, an astrophysics professor who wrote about it recently in the Times. He said you can feel the temperature around you begin to drop as much as 15 degrees over the 5 to 10 minutes that lead up to the eclipse. The birds and other animals go silent. The light becomes eerie and morphs into a dusky, muted twilight. A column of darkness in the sky hurtles toward you at 1,000 miles per hour as the moon's shadow falls neatly over the sun. Sometimes a few stars or planets begin to appear faintly in the sky as your eyes get used to the new darkness. Dr. Mulligan says he often cajoles people into witnessing an eclipse with him because his friends think that he's exaggerating about how amazing it is. He writes about some of his friends in 2017 that joined him in Nebraska. He says, "When the eclipse was over, I knew they finally got it. Their faces were overcome with emotion as they struggled to articulate how they were feeling, because it wasn't just about what they had seen. It was about what they had experienced." This morning, we read about a similar encounter between Jesus and his friends, and it wasn't about what Thomas had seen. It was about what he experienced. Thomas, along with the other disciples, began in their locked-up station. They're gripped with fear about what might happen to them if the religious authorities found out that they were associated with Jesus. Maybe they're afraid of being falsely accused of stealing Jesus' body. Perhaps afraid because they didn't know what to expect next. Maybe all three. Even though something wonderful seemed to have happened that morning, the disciples now lock themselves up almost in an instinctive manner, hoping to keep out all the uncertainties and running from the overwhelming inability to figure any of it out. I wonder, are we really that different today? Seeming to be okay on the outside, but if we're honest, many of us, and certainly I sometimes, learn to live with a deep-seated fear of what we can't control or comprehend. We might not lock ourselves inside a literal room, but we use other kinds of locks on our minds and hearts: entertainment to distract us, gossip to delight us, substances to dull us. We have no shortage of ways to keep the fears at bay. I'm really good at closing the door, so I just don't have to think about it. Like a child covering their eyes, we think that if we keep our fears in our subconscious level, the scary something won't be as real. But the good news this morning is that Jesus isn't limited by our locks. We all get stuck in these locked up stations, but Easter reminds us that there is a loving Savior, someone who isn't limited by the barriers we put up to protect ourselves from fear, uncertainty, and helplessness. It's important for us to realize that this Sunday's reading isn't really about what Thomas is like. I mean, he just wants what everyone else had, a firsthand encounter with the Lord. No, the story, I think, is really about what Jesus is like. Jesus meets us where we are, even when we're out on the far edge of faith that forgot how to believe, as one theologian put it. Jesus comes as this loving Savior, someone who's determined to find us. From the beginning of our biblical story, right, we hear the question, "Where are you?" God is always reaching out in love towards us. And here's the good news. It wasn't up to Thomas to be smart enough, to be brave enough, to be good enough, or to have all the right answers. The only thing that mattered was that Thomas was honest enough to say, "I need something more." The beauty of the resurrection stories is that God invites us into a relationship just as I am, stepping through my fears within and my fears without, through my questions, through my doubt. Jesus, our loving Savior, comes to us right where we are. Incidentally, it's one of the things I love about baptizing babies, as we did at the 9:10 service. The sacrament reminds us that God is blessing us as his children before we can do anything to earn that love. God's love reaches out to us and folds us in that love from our very beginning. So we start with Thomas in his locked up station, and then we move to encounter this loving Savior, and at last we discover a lasting sense of peace. Jesus just comes and says, "Peace be with you." Now remember, this peace is God's shalom, right? It's a filled to the brim after Thanksgiving dinner, I'm deeply satisfied feeling. The Danish, I think, capture some of this feeling and concept with their word hygge, right? The hygge is the sense of well-being that you have after a great dinner and you've gathered around a fire to have a good conversation with good friends. You're safe and you're at home. It's that sense of peace that Jesus shares with his friends. A sense of well-being, of knowing that I'm loved just as I am. And from knowing I'm not alone in this time of uncertainty and knowing I can trust that God will see me through this. In fact, Jesus invites Thomas to trust as he says, "Don't remain in your state of unbelief, but begin to believe." It's not mere intellectual assent, but Thomas, begin to trust me with all that you are and all you hope to be. And it's from that place of trust that we too can begin to experience this deep peace. Now, I want us to notice that despite the presumption all of us have and the beautiful art that is on our cover of our bulletin, the scripture says that Jesus invited Thomas to touch his sides and his hands, but the scripture never says that he actually does. Instead, Thomas just exclaims, in relief, "My Lord and my God." When we really meet the person of Jesus, whether it's in a private closet of prayer or at the edge of a public communion rail, if we're honest enough to say, "I really need something more," and we invite God into our locked up stations, this loving Savior really will bring us his lasting sense of peace. And similar to those friends watching the eclipse, we may struggle to articulate how we're feeling because it isn't about what we see or touch. It's about what we experience. This morning, may we know God's everlasting love will reach out to us no matter what eclipses God's presence in our life, our doubts, our fears, uncertainties, in our locked up station. May we know that God will be with us in every circumstance because we have a loving Savior. May we know the lasting sense of peace and well-being because that gift is already ours. Our journey of faith isn't about what we see or touch. It's about what we experience. Amen.